Kia ora, everyone. I'm Emmeline Pat Dahlstrom from Space Base, a social enterprise focused on catalyzing the space entrepreneurial ecosystem starting in New Zealand to solve challenges on Earth and beyond. You're listening to the Space Base podcast. Today, I'm interviewing Jill Dowden, Global Activation Executive focusing on business development and growth for space trailblazers. Jill is a super connector who connects people and resources that catalyze change in high growth businesses. She was instrumental in getting the aerospace ecosystem up and running in Christchurch from the early years. Jill has a bachelor's degree in nutrition and dietetics from the University of Otago. Her professional journey ranged from health, franchise ownership, events promotion, aerospace, and championing new ecosystems such as the space industry. She has worked for Christchurch NZ and the Canterbury Development Corporation, as well as several notable aerospace and tech companies like Fabrum, Orbica, and Jix Reality. Welcome, Jill.
Well, thank you, Emmeline. That's lovely to be talking to you this morning.
Well, super excited to hear about your career journey. Well, in particular, because it is also atypical for most people who are kind of like working in the space industry. So great to be learning more. But let's start again from the very beginning. Where were you originally from New Zealand? Where did you grow up?
Oh, actually, I grew up in Christchurch and went to Otago University, married my dentist and ended up in Palmerston North for a large number of years. And around the earthquakes, I moved back to Christchurch, where all the opportunities existed.
Wow. And so when you were growing up, what your areas of interest?
Look, anything to do with creativity, ideas, really just a lot of creative ideas, but very much focus on design and new thinking at that point. And that theme sort of evolved over the years into business and innovation. So it's really just taking intangible into real ideas.
And was there somebody or something that influenced you growing up?
So I was thinking about the influence that Anita Roddick actually had on me way back. I was very interested in business and read the Body Shop book. And interestingly, it was sort of brought to my attention yesterday because I believe the Body Shop has gone into receivership. And so I really was inspired by a woman taking on the challenges of life, setting up a business, doing the first of social good in the world, and how the story of the Body Shop really just took off. So making a huge difference across many aspects of an ecosystem.
Yeah, can you elaborate just a little bit about when you talked about the Body Shop book, what is it all about?
So basically, her story is one of from adversity through to success. I think she had two young children. Her husband had left her and she thought, what am I going to do with my life? I need to earn money. So she came up with this idea of using her shop for good, and would get her suppliers from various ethical sources and would be helping them grow their businesses. So it was more about making a difference rather than profit, but of course she made profit on the way. So it was really the beginning of my interest in the whole area of social entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs that, you know, so much of entrepreneurship is about coming from adversity through to success. And I see the same principles in the aerospace industry, the space industry. There's a real thread that comes through from what I remember her journey through to what I see today.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And so you mentioned that you went to uni majoring on nutrition and dietetics. So I'm also curious about like why that particular focus and how that came about.
Look, I was just at that point in my life very very interested in food and nutrition and health and well-being. It's a thread that's carried on in my life. I mean, as you've gotten to know me, my life's full of variety, and it's about wherever my curiosity takes me. So nutrition and dietetics at the time was the focus for me. always wanting to make a difference, always wanting to better understand human body and the importance of nutrition and how I could make a difference to people that required, various health aspects of food and nutrition to sort their medical issue. And part of the training, a lot of people don't know, but in the day that I trained as a dietitian, we also ran hospital food services, and that was where I began to get a love for business. And so we used to run the hospital food kitchens, and I used to joke and say, I can cook for six or 600, but nothing in between. So it was really the beginning of big teams, systems that need the efficiencies of running a food service system, three meals a day out the door, multi services to multi hospitals, centralized food kitchens, all that sort of thing. And also at the end game was really having nutritional meals that were acceptable, because we all got an opinion about the food in hospitals. The patient at the end, it was about having quality meals of nutritional value. So about making that difference.
And so your role there as a, well, I guess as a business owner and as a business executive, did that sort of prepare you
Yes.
for the business development that you're kind of like doing now? So yeah,
Yeah,
maybe if you can
so
elaborate.
it actually, from there, my husband and I had, at the time, had a dental business, and we used to go to a lot of, or education's always been a big part of my brief, always curious about learning more, and not always from necessarily university qualified areas, but I always attend a lot of personal development courses, business courses. So we applied these principles to growing our dental practice, and I did a lot of the work of reinventing that, so repositioning the brand of how we grew that, and we became an award-winning dental practice, and all these things became something of great interest to me about how we could make a difference, how we could have raving fans of our business, because that was really where a lot of the referrals came from. And we had a pretty high performing business. So that was the next foray of business experience that I ended up with. And then following that, I started a franchise. And, I've actually had three businesses in my life and varying experiences from all of them. So I decided to start a franchise with a business partner, and it was probably one of those dark moments of my life. Always the greatest learnings from the horse stories. And one of the moments, I was reading a book. My business partner said to me that he was going to Singapore to listen to the author of this business, of this book. And I said, "Well, have a nice time. That's great. Tell me all about it when you get back." He said, "Why don't you come with me?" And I said, "Oh, who's going?" There was about seven men going, so I can't come. He said, "Well, find another woman." So off I go with to Singapore. And the first hurdle actually to get there was to find out how many. I said to my husband, "How many airpoints have you got?" So he had just the right number. So I left him with the kids and 1,000 airpoints. Went to this amazing seminar. Came back having huge learnings and huge new ideas, and came back with a business with three business partners. So that got me into an international events company running entrepreneur programs and building a social entrepreneur network that was global. And very exciting time in the area of 2003 to 2009. So I have worked at many levels of businesses and coached and mentored a number of as well.
Oh, that's amazing. So one particular aspect of you that really fascinates me a lot is that I always introduce you as a super connector. I mean, there's not a lot of people who are super connectors, and you're one of them. And just personally, it definitely helped us in Spacebase throughout our like especially like in the early years when we didn't really know anybody here in New Zealand. And your connections over the past 7 years has basically helped us kind of get into the networks that we have now locally. And so, yeah, I'm really curious about how did you cultivate that? You know, how does one create that superpower?
Good question. There's a balance of what you're innately born to do and who you are, and then there's honing those skills as well. So if we take the former, I've always loved people. I've got natural confidence with people. I've got a curious mind, growth mindset, always about why not? Let's have some fun on the way. Let's give it a go kind of attitude. And then there's using that skill very strategically. And I guess the story I just told you about the entrepreneur network, the work that I did with that international entrepreneur, he had a wealth dynamics profiling tool, which was about helping people who are entrepreneurs understand their best talent and the position of how to maximize their entrepreneurial skills, their natural skills. And so I realized that my connecting skills were hugely valuable to a creative innovator. And that was really the formula that I started to follow, that I would be and could be the one to bring my networks to the entrepreneur to further and basically catalyze and speed up the connections and bring resources to them to
Yeah.
make things go quicker. So I guess it's a combination of my actual love of meeting people. I'm curious. I always want to know what drives them, what motivates them. And I like to work with the willing, the people. I don't want to have to go and force people to come along on a particular idea. They either get it or they don't, and they're leaning in and they've got a curious mindset. And I like to work with those people and bring resources to them or introductions to them to help them get whatever they need for them to further their work.
Also, I guess, does being a super connector mean that you'll have to be an extrovert as opposed to an introvert? So I'm just because there's people who are, you know, inclined to different ways of interacting with people. But is there a connection there, or do introverts actually can hone a skill as connecting with people, even though they're not the naturally people?
Well, actually, that's a very good point. I mean, probably in the past, I would have said extroverts are more inclined to this. I think it's that combination of being interested in people and look, honestly, look at the times you sit on a plane and you sit next to somebody and you think, will I read my book or will I talk to them? And so often when you talk to the person sitting next to you, the whatever unfolds will be just the right thing, and they'll know somebody or they'll give you a piece of information. The second thing I'd say is that there's a woman in the States called Judy Robinette, and her story, she is the most powerful super connector. She is known for her platinum Rolodex of high-level people in her network. And she is a self-proclaimed introvert that learned the skills. So I actually think you can be either.
Awesome. So let's get into the space industry or the aerospace industry. We met you like about 7 years ago, and quite honestly, you're probably one of the reasons why we moved to Christchurch in 2019. So how did you get first interested in the aerospace industry, at least in Christchurch, and then further on in New Zealand? Like, maybe if you can take us through that process of how that came about.
So at the time, I worked at the Economic Development Agency, and I worked for Christchurch NZ, and I was the commercialisation and business attraction manager, a huge job. I was very focused on commercialising businesses, ran high growth business development programs, was also involved in the innovation sector, developing the hub of innovation. And at the time, we were well and truly getting over the earthquakes and just really rebuilding our economy. And one of the briefs I had was we were looking to grow businesses, to grow ecosystems that would attract companies to to Christchurch and create high value jobs. So if you couple all of that just sat there as the context of what I was operating within. Then I was working with Fabrum and would quite frequently have conversations with Christopher Boyle and just have catch up of where they were at. And Fabrum has a bit of notoriety now for their green hydrogen work and made out of cryogenic system. And so they were always innovators, and I just always enjoyed talking to Chris. Then this particular day, he was telling me they were working as a French space agency doing a cryogenic chamber for testing robots on Mars. And I was thinking, goodness me, what is going on here? Where are we actually getting to Mars at some point? This is back in 2016, somewhere around there. And so it got me interested. And then I had heard that the Edmund Hillary Fellowship had these wonderful space entrepreneurs that had arrived in New Zealand. And that was when I reached out to you and really thought it might be of interest for you to start to understand what's going on in Christchurch. And you'll remember that week that we had where I pulled together some really interesting, pivotal conversations with people that I started to realize we have quite a bit of space related activity going on in the city. So initially, I just thought it was Faber. I'm working with NASA and various others, and some of the very cold innovation was being picked up and enabling all of this work for us to get to Mars and various things. So it was just that curious realization that perhaps if I got you to meet Chris and various other people in the city, that might start something. I remember picking up the phone after I'd had the conversation with Fabram and picking up the phone to you, Emmeline, reaching out and just said, look, I've just met with this company. They're working with NASA, they're working with European and French space agencies. Would you be of interest? Would it be even? And you, of course, said, yes, of course, we'd love to meet them, and decided to come to Christchurch, which was, I think it was in November of about
Yeah, no, that was amazing. And
17, isn't it? And so I said, well, that's great. I will create a week-long city tour for you and pull together a program. And then I thought, I've got no idea what's actually really happening in the space industry. So I went to all my colleagues and said, what have you got? Who are you working with? What's going on? And it was extraordinary, actually, what kind of week we had. I think you'll agree. It was opened my eyes, and it was where I started to see the first potential of an aerospace ecosystem that we had in the city and the potential of what that could be. So we went to Fabram. We saw cryogenics, we saw the sort of liquid oxygen, nitrogen, and now it's hydrogen. We went to the top of the university, fifth floor of the Rutherford building, and saw the work of Dr. Chris Hahn and Philip Soulsrop, who was doing rocket guidance system, PhD. It was all deeply confidential at that point. We went to an engineering company. We saw Miranda Satterthwaite and the wonderful work she was doing with the STEM. Developing the inspired Mission to Mars program for the young ones to think about when they get to Mars, how they're going to live, how they're going to eat, and really think about what life on Mars could be about. So that was eyes wide opening for us. And also the Kashmir High School was doing quite, they had a huge young team of kids that were really interested in space. And so we got you to do a presentation to them.
And then now like subsequently have been involved with the challenges like twice already and have a space club.
So we certainly left our mark in that week, and
Yeah, you basically did it big time because again, I remember that 1 week when we came to Christchurch. We were welcomed with open arms and talking to, Christchurch NZ and pitching the challenge, which is
yes.
something fairly new. And before we even left, it was basically a done deal where we would partner together and start this very first space challenge for New Zealand. And I think I can particularly say that a lot of that was a lot of your work, getting people to buy in to what the opportunity is.
The post discussion that we had afterwards, after seeing what we saw, I mean, my eyes have been hugely open to the potential of the city as a new economy. And then researching and discussing with you and Eric, I remember asking you to write a report about what's working, what's not, what's missing, and your recommendations were a couple of things. They were, I remember a data cube and And the understanding that really the industry is about satellites and Earth observation and the data, and the commercial value sits in the data. And I had no idea at that point, this is what, 2017 we're talking about, and how that is a critical part. And I'm not sure that we've still solved that one as a country.
I think it's still going, and I
It's
think
still going?
there's a lot of potential,
Yeah.
especially with the downstream data analysis part.
Yeah, we're starting to collect the data, and it's valuable for this side of the world and the Pacific. So yeah, so that's where we got started really. And then from there, I introduced you to Christchurch NZ, and we got the space challenge underway. And that was pretty much we pulled together some key people to decide what the challenge problem statement will be. And in the end, we settled on Antarctica and the difference the satellite data could make for traversing across safely for the scientists to do their work and not fall down a crevasse. So that was interesting. And then the next game changer really came with the innovative partnerships team from the government bringing Airbus to the table, wanting to do the next. So you might want to share how that
In
unfolded.
2019, and so that was really great to see where in the first one, which is a partnership between Christchurch and the space base, but then on the second one, the government has managed to bring in Airbus as an actual, a global partner and get a national level aerospace challenge where we were invited to deliver the program for MB, which was really super fantastic.
And remember, we got all the partners involved. We had Canterbury University and all the various other
Yes. So all of the economic development agencies as well.
So it was a great ecosystem development. It really educated and brought helped to bring people up to speed with what was going on, what the potential was, and also the beginning of the entrepreneurship journey. So, take the IP and start to commercialize it. So all of that, we might have made a bit of a difference in catalyzing a few things back then, and we didn't quite know the potential of it. But it's I look back and I'm very proud to have been involved in that change. And also in recent times for me, it's also been seeing the opportunity of the green hydrogen work and how that relates as well. And after that, working with Orbica with the data science and the potential of how we commercialize the data for Earth observation, sustainable solutions. So yeah, it's been interesting 7 years.
Journey. Great.
And Emily and I, to bring this conversation back to super connectivity and connectors and whatever, to me it's the speed of trust. So and I love that phrase, because when you've got people that you're working with that trust your judgment and assessment, that trust the conversation you're going to bring to the table, they listen up and they actually are engaged. And that was a classic example of the right people sitting around the table. And I will always thank my manager, Anna Ulfick, for really understanding how I worked and the speed with which I worked. And she was a great enabler of that creativity that I have. And it was quite phenomenal. I think you'll agree, the speed with which we were able to get underway. And then when we started to spread the word about the space challenge and what we were up to, I can remember talking to a woman who was leading the Auckland Economic Development Agency. And she said to me, "This is the freshest thing that's come across my desk in years." And so there was no shortage of people listening up and being inspired about it. So very exciting times to have such innovation and really the whole area of unknown, but deep curiosity for people. And of course, we knew there's a trillion-dollar industry out there, but it was only just starting off the back of Rocket Lab that people were just starting to think about the potential of this. I do remember With the space challenge, the marketing team got right behind it, and they really
Yep.
sort of created pictures of astronauts going to another planet from Christchurch. It was like
Yeah,
actually.
I remember all of the promotions and just like the videos. It was pretty well done for us as well. We're so grateful for how we kind of like got started that way. Thanks to you, Christchurch NZ, and all of the local government that were just basically banding together to make it successful. And I think kind of like riding off of that, the formation of the aerospace strategy for Christchurch or Canterbury also got underway. Do you have any thoughts on that and your part as well? Because I know that you were pretty much involved during those times of being able to at least give some indication of where that strategy should be going.
Yes, it was interesting times because Christchurch was really leading the way in this area, and I'm not sure we quite need this the Christchurch space strategy in the same way that we do today, but it certainly gave an amazing guideline of ecosystem development and how we could grow and evolve. I mean, basically, I see it the same as could be applied across New Zealand, but yes, it was really about better understanding the power of a well-developed ecosystem, what was needed, what part in the evolution that we're at right now, where the roadmap's going. And there were just so many moving parts and people, and also really looking for what had been done elsewhere in the world in this journey. So really exciting times to be part of this beginning of what we can now see as well and truly underway and really ready for being taken to the next level of commercializing the innovation that's coming out of this and really having the university talent connected and flowing into the businesses that get created and a global ambition for our businesses. So all of that at the time was focused on Christchurch, but actually New Zealand Inc. It's so important we work as one.
Yeah, and also as an offshoot of all of those initiatives, the aerospace, I guess it was called Aerospace Christchurch first initially, and then now it's called Aerospace New Zealand. You were
Yes.
also part of like the core people that got that started. Can you talk about that as well?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So as a result of that week that I took you around the city to introduce you to all the various aerospace people and activities that are going on. We, of course, we met Mark Rocket, and I hadn't known him prior to that. And so it was great to get connected and better understand what motivated him. And he was always motivated by having Christchurch as a space port. And this was all new terminology to me at that point. So I followed up with him, and he started to share his vision for having an aerospace community, a bit like how there's a very well-developed tech community here that's really New Zealand lenses on it. It's been a very
And a
successful
big
community
manufacturing hub as well.
and big manufacturing hub. And so he had a vision for that, and I said to him, well, I'll help you bring the event together. And we invited, I think we had about 80 people at the first event.
Yeah, I was also there coming from Wellington, which was really
Yeah.
great to see how, well, it started out as a small group, but of course, now it's like 200 plus people.
It's huge now. And it's a real credit to where the whole aerospace team's taken it locally. Very good under the leadership of a strong committee. Mark, of course, is at the helm, and Vicky Harmon and her team, that amazing conference that they had just recently. Very, very well developed ecosystem and events. And I have to say, I love this saying. I've always loved it. Be the source, the possibilities are endless. But I don't know who it came from, but there's something about being at the beginning, and then you do your part, and then it takes off, and various other people step in and take it and make it so much better that you catalyze something at the beginning.
And that actually segues very well to my next question, where granted that at that time, New Zealand, it wasn't on the map besides like the beginnings of Rocket Lab, to have a space kind of like industry. What do you think were the ingredients that sparked kind of like that interest? Primarily first with local government in Christchurch, but then now being a New Zealand-wide phenomena that we think is like growing today.
My initial thoughts were when we first started the Aerospace Christchurch community, we did that on the smell of an oily rag. It was there was no money. It was really just let's just see who's interested and the diverse group of people we can get together that have an interest in rockets, rocket launching, satellite space, all of that. And so over the months that we kept showing up, running these meetups, the government agencies started getting interested and they started coming down to Christchurch and they started showing up. And then the local agencies started. So basically the value was created without any money and the community was created and then the money followed. And I was told money follows value and I've always liked that. So the value got created first. We didn't go to the government and say, look, we need some money to do this, do that, to set something up. We created it first, and then it really has been a community of inspired people willing to work together, willing to be collaborative, willing to solve big, big, challenging problems. And in fact, that is why another reason I saw the potential of the aerospace industry for Christchurch, because so many of the startups and the investors looking to invest in startups, they were underwhelmed by what was being created. And I remember thinking, well, there's no shortage. I mean, entrepreneurs like to solve problems, but there's no shortage of problems that the space industry provides to be solved
That's a great way of putting it.
at all levels. And so we've now got a community of investors that are really seeing the potential of the space industry. We have banks that are now interested. BNZ's got in behind it. We have, some of the big four accounting firms. And so all of these things show that the value's been created.
And you actually answered my next question, which is asking about the space ecosystem, if it's thriving, and basically what's the difference now than before. But do you see any challenges still? Like what needs to happen to even accelerate kind of like that growth in the ecosystem?
So there's various levels of ecosystems. So there's the Christchurch ecosystem, which I'm very familiar with, and then there's the New Zealand ecosystem, and then of course there's the world. So it's actually about working together and not losing sight of that bigger intent that we're here to solve the big issues of humanity and sustainability and the planet and I think it's about the old model of business versus a new model of business. It's not competitive so much as collaborative. And the more we work in a connected, collaborative way, the more, I mean, diversity comes out of innovation comes out of diversity. And so the more we work as a connected ecosystem across New Zealand with specialty areas, like from Invercargill through to Rocket Lab in Auckland, and various Space Institute, activities. There's talent of expertise across New Zealand, and I think we need to really own our piece and value that and not compete too much across each other.
You mentioned diversity. So I'm just as an aside as well, because I asked this the last time in my last episode of a podcast. Space is certainly a daunting area to play in, and it's still not as diversified as what as how we would want it to be. And so in terms of the role of women, which you and I are part of, do you see a ray of hope that changing paradigm for the role of women today in the industry, and that do you see that there's going to be more opportunities that's going to happen in the future, and is that happening today?
Well, I mean, it's amazing to think that there's a number of women already in some of these typical male dominated roles in the space industry. And I love the fact that we have a woman in space group and community. And the work of Miranda Satterthwaite, who has been champion of inspiring the younger ones, and she takes people to NASA and just on these trips, totally about inspiring them into something. So I think there's a huge role for us to continue to champion that it's not about what sex you are, it's more about what inspires you and what difference do you want to make in the world, and that you can do whatever you want to do. And I think I see what I've seen in terms of the ecosystem and the development of companies in the space industry. Like, if you think of what Dawn has achieved in the short term, like, gosh, I remember when they were moving to Christchurch looking for a runway and a workshop to look. And that was my challenge, to help them find something there. But now they're just exponential growth. They've got just so much. And so women are part of their team. And it's hugely important that we choose the right talent and inspire the younger ones into these roles. And it's not a male-dominated field, but it has been.
And going along the lines of excitement, so what excites you the most in the space industry in New Zealand today? Is there any specific areas that you think would be growth opportunities that should be looked at?
Yeah, I do actually. I've always seen the manufacturing sector as ripe for pivoting and hooking into the supply chain of the growth of the aerospace and space industry. And there are a number of companies already doing small widgets for Rocket Lab, and they're not really allowed to talk about it. It's all commercially sensitive. But we know individually that they are doing this work. And I just think there's a huge opportunity. When I was working with Fabrum, for example, as they grow, the demand for hydrogen grows, they need a bigger supply chain. And so what other companies are out there hooking into the space industry that we can basically serve our local businesses by developing the capability to support the supply chain of growth for an international scale as these businesses are scaling up. So we need to sort of get the manufacturing sector very aware of what the space industry could potentially offer as potential commercializable value for them to sort of step into.
Yeah, that's a great segue actually to going to the present time, where today you are working for Space Trailblazers. And so if you give us a little bit of info of what it is and what you're focusing on in terms of services.
Yeah, so Space Trailblazers is a company that we're aiming to connect the New Zealand manufacturing companies to the magnitude of the opportunities within the New Zealand and international space industry. So I'm working with Jess Kovach and yourself, Emmeline and Eric, to bring a whole lot of industry connections and expertise and knowledge to create the awareness for manufacturing companies that are interested in hooking into the space industry. Most people don't know how. They might have an interest, or they've heard of a potential opportunity, but it's really quite hard to know where to start. And so we want to make that easier and as a starting point, and give the overall awareness of what's going on in the space sector and where potential aligned opportunities for a company might be to explore further. And so we're running a series of workshops to better understand the sector and how that might specifically align with that business and where the potential could be. So Space Trailblazer started with Jess Kovach being awarded a Callaghan Arohia Trailblazer seed grant, and that was to better understand the New Zealand space sector capabilities for the manufacturing sector. And so we started to realise that actually there's a real need to be hooked in, and so that we can help the how-to.
So, yes, what motivated you to join Space Trailblazers in this particular initiative?
Well, of course, I'm deeply in awe of your expertise in the space industry for 30 years, and the network connections, the international network connections that you have, and credibility in New Zealand. And so for me to have you in my network and work closely, it means that the strategic value that we can offer manufacturing companies to better understand where the opportunities lie is huge. So I have always worked across strategically across the industry, and to have the credibility of your space expertise is hugely valuable. So I'm delighted to be working with Jess, who's amazing in her business development and sales experience, and bring myself as a super connector and your space expertise. I think we've got a really strong, powerful combination that the industry needs right now, and it really is going to catalyze change so much quicker and create some commercial value. So I'm super excited about that.
That's great to hear. So, as we wind down the podcast, my last set of questions are normally about like recommendations. So, for you, because yeah, your career path working in this industry, as I mentioned in the beginning, is non-traditional. What would you recommend someone who's interested in working in the industry, but also has maybe similar backgrounds as you and doesn't know how to engage in this particular industry?
Yeah, so no one will have as weird a career path as mine. It's gone all over the place, but I can join the dots forward. So I do think that if you've got a passion for the space industry, and actually just allow that to be the key driver. So no matter what your background is, there are always transferable skills that can be applied in the space sector. And find yourself a mentor. So, for example, I was mentoring a guy who was doing an MBA program, had a completely diverse career, nothing to do with space, but was really fascinated by the space industry. Now, as all these companies grow and evolve, they are going to need strong leaders and, all the skills that and capability that a business, the commercializing of a business needs. And so I think that the industry is so ripe for following your passion at the moment to actually step into it, that people who have this interest, if you've got something that you're really deeply interested in, you'll go the extra mile to learn about the industry. So it's more about stepping in, getting a mentor, just people like myself who open doors and get you connected. And people like in the early stage of business development and business growth, they tend to work and employ people that they like and believe have the capability. So it's like hiring to attitude, and you can teach capability, and industry knowledge comes on that pathway. So it's about leaping and trusting that this is the environment I want to work in. And I saw a lot of people internationally coming back after the earthquakes with heaps of aerospace and aeronautical engineering training and the like. And the industry wasn't ripe for them at that point, and now they've been hooked in. So sometimes it's about timing, but keep evolving and keep learning and keep growing and keep hooking into and hang out in that community of the space meetups and those random kind of connections. You'll bump into the right person. The conversation will take you to the next thing. So trust that, and your network connections will generally lead you to the right people.
Those are great nuggets. Thank you. And then also in terms of resources, I know you already mentioned a few of them earlier on, but do you have any other recommendations on either books, resources, websites, or any people that you follow that would be good either in general or for the industry?
Look, to me, a lot of this, I've hung out with entrepreneurs so much in my life, and so much of that is about strength and fortitude of mindset and mindset strategies. And I've always myself been curious about what it takes to, when you challenge yourself, there's nothing like the greatest learning. So anything in the realm of that's going to support you to develop your resilience, your fortitude, how to pick yourself up out of adversity, how to, keep going, because your vision and your commitment to cracking a massive problem out there is actually, it takes something to develop that yourself, but also to surround yourself with the right people who are going to support you on that journey. So I've always done a lot of personal development. I'd recommend personal development courses, a coach. Not many people have a coach. And there's an amazing podcast I love called by Stephen Bartlett, very popular now, and it's called Diary of a CEO. And I think he's building the qualities of what new leadership is required for the type of business and the holistic leader and, the entrepreneur who's really championing change in a very unknown operating environment these days. You have to have certain different adaptive leadership qualities. And of course, there's many others, but that would be just contact me and I'll let you know the list.
Well, yeah, thanks so much for all of those resources. And so, yeah, so before we close, do you have the final words, insights for the audience?
So I do have a favorite book that I give to my children and anyone who'll listen, and it's called Maximize Your Potential and Grow Your Expertise, Take Bold Risks and Build an Incredible Career. And it's by Jocelyn Glee, Glei. It's a really simple book. It's actually written for creatives. And I have personally tended to be more on the creative side, being the entrepreneur in an organization. And my kids are all creatives. And so to be able to commercialize your creativity is quite a skill. And this book is a very, very good, challenging book, but keeps it high level and simple. And I like that because I think we get too bogged down in detail sometimes. And so maximize your potential. For me, I've always been about unlocking that potential. It's about challenging yourself, taking life on. And I think that's a really good book to pick up on if you're wanting to get into the space industry and it's not your background. So it will just give you some wonderful guidelines.
That's a great book recommendation, Jill.
So thank you for the opportunity, Emmeline. It's been great. It's been a fascinating journey, 2017 to present day. I have seen the space ecosystem change and evolve and grow in complexity. And I think it's super exciting times for a new economic driver for New Zealand. And I think we're developing a bit of an aerospace focus in Christchurch area and a space, probably a little more focused with Rocket Labs experience up in Auckland. And I just think there's so much potential for the economy and it'll be interesting to see where and how fast and how big it grows over the next 10 years.
Great to end the podcast there. Again, thanks, Jill, for sharing your experiences and insights to the New Zealand community and beyond. It was great having you here for the episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you like Space Base's work and would like to support us, please check us out on spacebase.co. Thanks for listening and see you next time.